This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In college football, coaches seem to have athletic departments by the throat when it comes to negotiating power for contracts. Salaries are rising and doesn't seem to be ending anytime soon. And coaches who don't even necessarily get jobs at other places end up getting huge raises at their current places because, well, why not? There's money to spend. And then you have Iowa, which might have the most curious and certainly most interesting contract for an assistant coach out there. Hello, I'm Brandon Marcello. It is Wednesday, February 15th. You're listening to the College Football Daily. Iowa offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz, who is the son of head coach Kirk Ferentz, just received an interesting contract at Iowa where points are few and far between, but certainly controversy and drama is never lacking. So we bring in Hawkeyes insider David Eichel to discuss this further. First off, just sit in simple terms, lay out what Brian Ferentz's contract looks like now, why it's changed, and why this is just plain weird.
Yeah, Brandon. I mean, the reality is the reason why Brian Ferentz is still hired at Iowa is because his father, Kirk Ferentz, is the head coach. And Kirk Ferentz is Iowa Athletics, the longest tenured head coach in college football. But let's take a look at the amendments. So it was shortly after signing day, Iowa announced that offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach, might I add, Brian Ferentz. So his salary is reduced by $50,000. So he'll be making $850,000 this upcoming year. And basically what they call it is designated performance objectives for the 2023 season, which is to average at least 25 points per game and a minimum of 7 wins. And the 7 wins includes a potential bowl game. And for a group that, you know, in the Big Ten West, Brandon, it's completely wide open this next season. There's a lot of coaching turnover, and Iowa returns a plethora of really important pieces, and the schedule lines up perfectly for them. This is something basically to say, well, look, if Brian Ferentz hits these goals, his contract goes back into the two-year rollovers. He gets a $115,000 raise. The reality is this would not happen anywhere else in the country. I think there's a lot of tension between the Iowa fan base and what's going on within the football team. A lot of offseason rumblings were that Brian Ferentz was going to depart. But Brandon, let's not forget, there's still the lawsuit that Brian Ferentz is still named in. And I think that has really, really impacted his ability to potentially go back to the NFL as a position coach. I know there's a lot of ties with him and Bill O'Brien. That certainly just has not panned out. But this is a make it or break it upcoming year for Brian Ferentz if the past two weren't already like that. But the thing is, that's going to be very interesting. Is Iowa going to puff out its chest and say, look at us, we tripled down when they win 10 games and average 25 points with Brian Ferentz as the offensive coordinator? They shouldn't even be in a position where they're able to do that. So I'm very interested what the season ticket sales are going to look like, but it's a laughable contract and it's a systematic failure all the way from the top down.
Yeah, you mentioned the lawsuit, which for those unfamiliar, back in 2020, there were allegations of, I guess you would say, kind of racist remarks or
racial disparities, I think.
Racial disparity issues, yes, within the program, excuse me. And Brian Ferentz was among those listed among former players. And now there's a federal lawsuit that is scheduled, I believe, to go to court in May. Yeah. And Brian Ferentz is labeled in that. So that's hovering over him. And then if you want to go back further, we talk about controversy, even back to 2005 when he was a player at Iowa for his father, Kirk Ferentz. There was this whole issue that Outside the Lines discovered from ESPN that players at Iowa, some of them were in federal housing, Section 8 housing that should be set aside for low-income families that need help with housing. And Brian Ferentz was one of those players in that housing. And at the time, Kirk Ferentz said in a story that, hey, I don't give my kid a big allowance. You know, it's up to him to figure out his whole situation. But the argument to be held there is, well, you're the highest paid public employee in the country. He's your son. Shouldn't you be the one taking care of him instead of taxpayers? And then also be taking away a spot potentially from a family that needs housing, that really actually needs it. So it brings up a lot of questions, obviously, just about the Kirk Ferentz legacy and the family there. Is there some abuse of power going on here? When you are a coach and you're in a place long enough, it seems like things always kind of fall apart, or there's some controversy that catches up to you. And obviously not everything is the same, but listen, he's been the head coach there now going into 24 years. And that's unheard of these days. And as we've seen in the past with big time head coaches that are at somewhere for 2, 3, 4 decades, even things just kind of fall apart and then legacies start getting tarnished. And it seems like we're heading down that road for Kirk Ferentz. And not to say that they're not going to win big games this year or win 10 games once again, or make it to the Big Ten championship game like they have. But David, we're also entering a bit of a sea change, the Big Ten. Most likely divisions are going to go away here the next few years. And I hate to say it, but this is the truth of the matter. Iowa's had an easier road than most in the Big Ten West to make the Big Ten championship game.
No doubt.
And that schedule could potentially get tougher. Times are changing. And so you kind of wonder, is Iowa at an inflection point here of trying to figure out how it fits in the Big Ten going forward? And is Kirk Ferentz holding them back, or is he actually pushing them forward and putting them on solid footing going into this new look Big Ten?
You know, I think it's a mixed bag there, Brandon. It's a lot to digest, but let's start back. I think that this upcoming year, people realize this is Iowa's best chance for a Big Ten title this next season. I mean, you look at, like I said, the Big Ten West, all the coaching turnover. I think Wisconsin's going to get there. I think Nebraska under Matt Rhule could potentially get there, but they're not going to be a year one turnaround, go in 10 games. I think Kirk's done a nice job in the transfer portal. I think Cade McNamara was one of the biggest additions in the Big Ten, arguably the biggest, I think. Then Eric All, and if he's healthy with Luke Lachey, that could be one of the best 1-2 tight end combos in the country, at least in the Big Ten. But I don't want to say Ferentz's legacy would be tarnished, but it's always what could have been. Because if you look at Phil Parker, by the way, should be a Broyles Award winner by now. The fact what he's done in the past two seasons to win Iowa games is phenomenal. And LeVar
Woods. Iowa's defensive coordinator, Phil Parker, who routinely just turns around top five defenses at Iowa. And as you said, just rarely mentioned the Broyles Award finalist conversation, despite carrying this program, really. And listen, that's how Iowa under Kirk Ferentz plays football. They play complimentary football. They played field position. Everybody jokes about, you know, all they do is punt there. Well, that's by design. It isn't like it's just, hey, we're okay with a bad offense, but that's kind of part of the plan. And they're not going to turn into an air raid team overnight. Heck, they're not even going to turn into a pro style offense overnight. This just, it is what it is. And it's 1 year after year after year. I guess my question is that, I guess what I'm trying to get to is, can you sustain that? The game changes year to year, but it seems like college football is going to look a lot different, especially in the Big Ten here in the next few years.
Absolutely not. It's not sustainable. I mean, the reality is, Brandon, over the past two seasons, when you look at Iowa's defense versus offense and special teams on the advanced analytics, there should be a whole 30 for 30 documenting how Iowa won 18 games. I mean, they should not have won a lot of those games, but Phil Parker's a magician. LeVar Woods, Iowa special teams coordinator, is phenomenal. Yeah. And it goes back to the Brian Ferentz contract. Two things about it. One, why isn't it 25 offensive points? 25 points. I mean, let's talk about this. Iowa almost had as many defensive touchdowns as passing touchdowns last season.
Yeah, six defensive touchdowns, 7 passing touchdowns. Phil Parker's defense scoring points. And as you mentioned, Brian Ferentz's contract is not your offense has to average 25 points. Just the team as a whole has to average 25 points. They have to hit 325 points. And that can come any number of ways. A block punt for a touchdown, a punt return for a touchdown, a kick return for a touchdown, an interception for a return for a touchdown, as we saw last year with six by that Phil Parker defense. So it's like, so you this is in your contract, but you also have these three other, four other outs to help you along the way. It's no, kind of crazy.
It's spoon fed for him to get another contract once they hit that mark. And Brandon, 85 teams in Division I last year hit 25 points per game. It's not elite. It's not a high mark.
And it's, you know, not even, it's not even, no, as the kids would say, mid. That's below average of 130 something teams in the college football. It's crazy.
Well, that's what's so maddening about it. And, you know, from Iowa fans' perspective, you know, a lot of outsiders say Iowa sells for mediocrity. Like, you know, they're okay with it. And Iowa fans have always strongly pushed back. I mean, you look at Iowa's win totals over the past decade. Yeah. They're up there with about anybody in Power Five. But Brandon, how do you push back against this? You're saying 7 wins is the objective. 25 points per game is the objective. That's striving for mediocrity. That's striving to be average on top of putting together a nice transfer portal class, returning a lot of really key talent, by the way, with Cooper DeJean and Xavier Wampa. Those guys are, it could be Iowa's best secondary they've had in a long time. And that's saying something considering how great they've been. But this is a question I want to throw back at you. And I've spent a lot of time thinking about this. If LeVar Woods and Phil Parker were not so good at their jobs, let's say they were top 30, not top 5 coordinators, does Brian Ferentz still have a job as the offensive coordinator? Because my thought is no, he does not.
No, and in fact, I would argue, I mean, because we know 2020, there was a lot of fire around Kirk Ferentz anyway. Like, is he going to be fired with all this controversy going on off the field and through his tenure there? They would have struggled, obviously. They would have struggled to win games, let alone just be able to score points, as we know, as we've seen over the years. I don't think he'd be the head coach right now, considering everything, all that fire that was swirling around him. Yeah. If Phil Parker's not coaching the way he does year after year after year, I think Kirk Ferentz may have been out of a job right now. But again, like, let's dive into the weeds here. Listen, Kirk Ferentz is a fantastic coach. His system works, but they've shown cracks and everything. And there are years where you're just like, man, this is not just boring football. It's dreadful football. But listen, I mean, when you're an Iowa fan and you look at the situation here with Gary Barta as the AD, and you going all the way back to 2012 when Brian Ferentz was hired, and we're talking about nepotism rules and guidelines within the own university about how you hire someone, and AD Gary Barta stepped in and said, hey, it was my decision to hire him. All right. So it's kind of turned into that situation where Gary Barta is Brian Ferentz, the OC's boss, rather than Kirk Ferentz, his father, who's the head coach, being his boss. And that's even kind of filtered its way into this contract with Gary Barta announcing this tweak in the contract rather than Kirk Ferentz, his actual boss, at least on paper, potentially would do it. So like when we just talk about the power structure at Iowa, how do you make sense of it? How do you explain that without people thinking like this is just like a good old boy network type of thing that everybody talks about at other universities?
It almost reminds me in some ways of like a mafia family, Brandon. I mean, the Ferentz family runs Iowa Athletic Department, and that's for good. That's not all for bad reasons. I mean, there's been a lot of good that's come out of it. So don't take that in a negative connotation, but let's come to think about too. So Gary's Brian's direct boss. Imagine the fallout between the alumni, the big time donors, the athletics department, and Kirk Ferentz. If Gary overstepped Kirk and fired and terminated Brian, I would have two things could have happened. One, could Gary Barta have lost his job depending on how the people above him feel about it? I don't think that would have been out of the cards. And what if Kirk Ferentz, if he felt a certain type of way about it, and I imagine he would, maybe Kirk's, you know, he signed that big extension through 2029. Well, if he's just like, you know what, I don't really want to do it anymore. And then where does that put Iowa? In the midst of changing college football, when you've had two head coaches in what, 45 years, 44 years, where does that put Iowa football if Kirk Ferentz isn't there? So, I mean, it's on paper, statistically, there was every reason to fire Brian. I mean, you really can't look at a stat and say, yeah, you know what? This is a guy we want running our offense. But look at the potential fallout with everything. This would not happen at any other program in the country at any level. It's a perfect storm of chaos right now as far as why he's still employed. But again, if Brian goes out there and that offense puts up 30 points a game with Cade McNamara, with Eric All, with some more of the transfer portal additions, you know what? That's all well and good. And Iowa fans will love it, obviously. But I also don't think that it should overshadow the fact that we shouldn't even be at this point.
Much more on Iowa football after these messages.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, it just certainly seems like, despite all the success, that here in recent years, it almost seems like that Kirk Ferentz, Gary Barta, they're building the steps to the stairs as they walk up them. And yeah, they just so happen to be able to put that step in front of them right at the last moment they need to, and everything's okay. But the fact of the matter is, we don't know what's two steps ahead at this point. We don't know what's going to look like. And the problem, though, again, is the Big Ten's about to expand with USC and UCLA. Divisions are probably going away. Iowa's schedule is going to change potentially drastically. The road to the Big Ten championship is not going to be as easy, yep, quote unquote. And that's going to affect things. Okay, so all that aside, I know it sounds like we're just tearing Iowa apart. It's just that this is such an interesting and fascinating discussion. Look at this, yep, contract, the power structure there. And kind of we're trying to make sense of all this for our listeners of why Iowa's just in this weird situation, why it is so interesting and why it could matter. Maybe not necessarily this year. Certainly the 325 points and 25 points per game is fascinating to watch game to game. And listen, there's going to be chalkboards with the number up.
We've already seen dedicated to tracking
websites.
It.
We've seen the t-shirts, yeah, the hoodies and everything. And that's great. But okay, so tell me, Iowa, they're going to be among the favorites in the Big Ten West once again. Why or why not is this offense better than it was last season? You mentioned the transfers coming in from Michigan, quarterback Cade McNamara, who led them to a Big Ten championship just 2 years ago,
yep,
or a year and a half ago, and into their first playoff appearance. And Eric All, who's a dynamic tight end slash receiver who had to deal with injury this year, but is certainly tremendously talented. Why is this offense going to be better? And I say that to say this. The only thing, yeah, that pops in my head is Iowa had a great receiver. His name was Charlie Jones, and he went to Purdue, and he caught many more touchdown passes than, yeah, Iowa did as an entire team this past season. So why? We've seen Iowa have tremendous tight ends, obviously, in the past, and receivers, and then not score a lot of points. So why is this year different, or will it not be?
The thing that I think a big reason for people having optimism is the offensive line. I mean, if you look at when Iowa's offensive lines are good, the offense is actually capable. I mean, they can put up points. We've seen it in the past. And the bigger thing than the point total itself, Brandon, from last year to me, and even the year before that, Iowa has not been able to sustain drives. They have not been able to drive down the length of the field. The defense has been on the field an ungodly amount. But you look at Caleb Johnson, who I think could be one of the biggest breakout stars in the Big Ten. Running back, had an outstanding true freshman season. Big body guy. I think he's a potential future pro. And Iowa landing two transfers, offensive linemen from the portal. Dijon Parker from Saginaw Valley State. I know it doesn't exactly roll off the tongue there, but he's a big 6'5" body, 305 pounds. This is a guy who's played a lot of football. He has an NFL upside, in my opinion. Then Rusty Fifth. I mean, the second team All-MAC guy who was coached by Iowa offensive line coach George Barnett at his previous stop at Miami, Ohio. So you have two veteran guys in there that can really take a step forward. And I think Kirk and Brian, you know, people need to realize this about Brian. Brian's not a good coordinator, but when Brian coaches positions, those positions have thrived in the past. So I think they're going to take a more hands-on approach there. Logan Jones comes back, Connor Colby, Mason Richmond. I think there's a lot of optimism that if the offensive front can be stabilized, when you look back at the past Iowa offenses from a decade ago, Brandon, they utilized the play action. And I think that's really been severely missing over the past couple of years. I think Iowa needs to land a receiver out of the transfer portal in the second window, just from a pure number standpoint, probably a big body guy, but get Caleb Johnson going on the ground, play action, air it deep. And I think the thing that people want to see more than anything else, and I think they will, on 3rd and 5, do not throw the ball 2 yards down the field. Throw it past the sticks. And I think that they're going to be able to do that with McNamara at the quarterback position.
Yeah, Brian Ferentz is a tremendous offensive line coach. We've seen that in the past. I mean, that's been his pedigree in the past. So defensively, we just expect Iowa to be great every year. Yeah. How the heck do you replace Jack Campbell, who, I mean, he's a tackling machine, 118 something like tackles this past season, won the Butkus. The guy's amazing. Is it just next man up for Iowa? You mentioned the secondary maybe being as good as it's been, but what about that linebacker group?
Well, Iowa landed, I think, a really potential late big splash that I don't think people are talking about enough right now. Nick Jackson, the Virginia linebacker, had 104 tackles last season in only 10 games, remember, because Virginia canceled the remainder of their season after what happened, their tragedy on their football team. But Nick Jackson coming in, Iowa got him over LSU and Oklahoma. I think Iowa's NIL was critical in landing that. But again, if you have Jack Campbell, who just won the Butkus, it's a pretty easy job to be able to sell it to him. But Iowa also lost Justin Jacobs. They lost Seth Benson, who is a very high four linebacker as well. Look for Jay Higgins to step up in that linebacker room. I think Iowa's defensive line could be really, really good. I mean, they lose Lucas Van Ness, who I know a lot of people wanted to come back for another year, but if you're a projected top 15 pick, you probably got to go to the league. Look for Deontay Craig to step up there. Logan Lee, I mean, they have experience across the line. Joe Evans is a pass rush specialist, 7.5 sacks. They had 13 sacks in the past two seasons. He's an edge rusher guy. And then, as you said, Phil Parker. I think they're going to target at least one more cornerback in the portal. They get Jamari Harris, they have Xavier Wampa, and they have Cooper DeJean, who I really do believe could be a Jim Thorpe finalist at the end of this next season.
So we're sitting here a year from now, David. What are we talking about when we talk Iowa football? What do you think?
I think that it's going to come down to, can Iowa continue to utilize the transfer portal and can they recruit to compete with USC, UCLA once they join the conference? I do right now believe that Iowa is going to win 10 games and go back to the Big Ten title. I just think it lines up for them on paper. I think Cade McNamara is on a revenge tour when it comes to, he wants to play Michigan in the title. I really believe he's kind of got that edge to him. He had that edge with him at Michigan. I think he's going to have it again. And I also think that we're talking about Brian Ferentz's contract returning to what it was, and him still being the offensive coordinator. But if they put up 31 points next year and 25 of them are offensive points, Brandon, I think people will live with that. So I think they're going to be at a very critical juncture. I think we're going to talk about, can Iowa's NIL compete with these other programs? And can Kirk Ferentz keep telling recruits, hey, I'm going to be here for a while, come help us push us over the mountaintop? But I think there'll be plenty of storylines to watch for sure.
All these 10-win seasons under Kirk Ferentz, 24 seasons total at Iowa. Only 14 of those seasons did the offense average 25 points or more. So 25 points isn't necessarily a benchmark to win 10 games at Iowa. He finds ways to do it because they play complementary football with the defense. So again, a low bar to clear, but Iowa football is just different, folks. And that's what makes this so fascinating. And you mentioned the Big Ten West undergoing a little bit of a kind of a sea change there. You mentioned Wisconsin, which has always been kind of the other team in the Big Ten West that would always contend for the go to the Big Ten championship. They are undergoing a drastic overhaul offensively. We're talking about, this is almost like, can you imagine Iowa going to an air raid system? That's kind of what Wisconsin's doing. They're putting some air raid principles in after hiring Phil Longo as offensive coordinator from North Carolina, who obviously coached a tremendous Tar Heels offense led by quarterback Drake May, and Luke Fickell taking over as head coach there. they're going all in on changing that offense and trying to do it overnight. And yes, Wisconsin might be in the race, but in the end, trying to do something so drastic overnight is probably not conducive to being in a championship race when November rolls around. And
yeah,
a lot of reasons to believe, despite all this noise about Iowa, that Iowa probably should beat. Like, you should sit there. Like, if we're betting men, it's like the if the over-under on wins was 8.5 or something like that, and I even looked at lines, bet the over. This is a team set up to win 9 or 10 games next season.
No, I'm with you. And I know some people are even talking about 7.5. And again, you just look at this. You just look at the schedule.
Yeah, look schedule.
I mean, they had two cupcakes, and I think Iowa's going to try to get some revenge against Iowa State. And I'm curious how the Cyclones are going to look this upcoming season. But again, the big test, the big early test for them is going to be when they go at Penn State near the end of September. And if Iowa's 3-0 and they're feeling good offensively, I think it could be a really, really fun matchup there as well. So, and also another team we haven't talked about, keep Illinois in the mix. I think Brett Bielema's done a really, really nice job with that program. I know they're going to, you know, Chase Brown's not going to be there, but I wouldn't sleep on them. And I know they lost their defensive coordinator, but you got to give them some respect for what they accomplished last season.
David, thanks for joining us on the College Football Daily. Make sure and check out his insider intel. He's the best on the beat there at Hawkeye Insider at 24/7 Sports. Fascinating conversation on Iowa and something we'll certainly be keeping of and doing a countdown with the points next season with Brian Ferentz's offense. Thanks for listening to College Football Daily. For producer Lance Glenn, I'm Brandon Marcello. We'll see you down the road.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.